episode 112 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. We're glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in to our weekly chats will help push you outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics, so if there's something you'd like to hear more about, let us know. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander Travel agents Elizabeth and Lindsay. We're also joined tonight by Mr. Outlander Travel, Chris.
See, that's a good way to do it.
Chris, you may remember, is Elizabeth's spouse and is occasionally forced to endure research trips with her.
Sorry, babe.
Take one for the team. Hey, I've offered to go on some trips.
Hey, you have a lot of people in line.
Yeah, well, right?
If he continues to be sour monkey, I might take you up on that.
All right. People, focus.
Okay, sorry.
We've mentioned the City of Lights in previous podcasts, but we've never really given Paris the attention she deserves. Luckily, Elizabeth and her family visited.
Lucky for us.
Congrats to Chris for surviving it. From the Eiffel Tower to Disneyland Paris, there's a lot we want to hear about this week, so let's get started.
Yay.
Yay. So you did a family trip.
We did.
A kid's first trip to Europe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yep. How did that go?
Really well, actually. Yeah. I'm very proud of my kids. I don't know if I'm supposed to take credit for it or not. I suppose it's partially our fault, but
I'll take credit for it.
Okay. Chris will
take
credit.
It's all Chris. It's not you.
Yeah. They're really good travelers. They really are. I guess from all the domestic flying we've done, they've got the hang of it and they're patient with it. And, I was really surprised at how well they handled being in a totally different culture.
Well, yeah, you're right. They're the travel part is easy for them at this point. They've done it so many times that they just kind of get into their routine. They're very self-contained. They're flying. They know what to do when they get off the plane. They get
Marcus
their bags.
Marcus will only fly Delta because Delta has the TVs in the back of the seat.
Well, you know, my kids are like that. It's like long car rides.
Yeah,
that, you know?
He's like, are we flying Delta? I'm like, seriously? Yeah.
Yeah, and they have the really good safety video.
They do, actually. They do. Yeah. Although they don't do their super funny one for the international flights. It's a little bit more international, though. It's a good one, actually.
So how are they with them? Well, okay, recap. Remind people how old your kids are.
12 and 10.
Okay, so good age for that.
Yes.
So how were they with, like, speaking French? Did they give it a go?
A little bit here and there, mostly their pleases and thank yous. You know, s'il vous plaît, oui. Merci beaucoup, oui.
And they were very critical of each other.
Yes.
Whenever they did. Yeah, they learned most of their French from Hamilton, so.
They can say, je suis Lafayette.
Got that down pat. No, actually, and Marcus took really great interest in learning before we went. And actually, I think my daughter picked that up too. They both started Googling. Not just like Googling words, but they would Google sort of popular French phrases and they would come back to me with a list. And I took French in high school and they know that. So they would come to me and they're like, okay, how do I say this? And how do I say this? And they would have this list that they had.
Mm-hmm.
And then they actually sort of copied things out. So yeah, they actually did what I would consider some pretty serious studying. They weren't conjugating verbs or anything, but they were, you know.
Yeah, no, they did great.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So it looked cold. So you guys went in.
Early November.
Yeah.
Which is off season. And in our county, in Wake County, North Carolina, we have year round schools, which I love. And if anybody ever has a chance to push it for their school system, I highly recommend you do it. You'll get a lot of pushback, but year round schools are fantastic. So they were actually tracked out of school. So we didn't have to take them out of school and we got to go in November. And as we talk about the things we did, we'll talk about why that was awesome. But it was a little chilly.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. It was a little chilly.
Yeah. I know when you did your, your live video from the Eiffel Tower. You guys talked about how cool
we were getting pelted with ice. Yeah, no joke, actually. It was like little itty bitty pellets of ice that I wasn't even sure, you know, with pollution nowadays, I was like, is this garbage or is this ice? So I'd pick it up off my jacket and it would melt my, I was like, oh, okay, it's ice.
Yeah. So where'd you guys stay?
So we stayed at
Hotel Adagio, Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, so it was an apart hotel, and it's in the 15th arrondissement. And I have to say, I would not normally recommend the 15th to a client, But when
I don't know what that means.
So, okay. So Paris, Paris is broken up into neighborhoods, and the neighborhoods do have some names, like, the Saint-Germain neighborhood or the, Le Marais neighborhood, you know, like places that people would know by name.
So kind of like Bronx.
Right. But the main way people actually break up Paris is by number. There's the premier, the secondary, there's up to, I want to say 18, but I have to look this up to be sure. And they actually sort of radiate from the first arrondissement, which is right on the north bank of the Seine. And then they sort of like radiate out like a snail's shell, like an escargot. And so the 15th is actually in the sort of southwest area of Paris. It's a perfectly lovely area of Paris. It's very
nice.
Very residential, and it's very close. We were within a mile of the Eiffel Tower. And basically the discussion we had as a family, we were looking at airfare, and we have two direct flights from Raleigh-Durham. One goes to Paris and one goes to
Heathrow.
To London, yeah. And had Marcus known that one was Delta and one was American, it probably would have been a much easier sell. But Delta flies to Paris and American flies to Heathrow. And in the summer, they had really low prices on these flights. And so Paris was a little bit more expensive than Heathrow. And I brought it back to the family. I was like, look, we could go to this, or we could go to Paris, or we could go to London. Which one do you choose? And my daughter said Paris because cheese. That was literally her answer. My husband said Paris because we've never been before.
He'd
never been. I've been to Paris twice before, but I've actually been to London more than that. I've been to London about four times.
Yeah,
and we were just there. Yeah. And Chris has been to London several times. My son, Marcus, was like, London, Harry Potter. So it was 1-3, and we went to Paris.
And he was put out.
He was
for a while.
Yeah.
He was upset. Yeah, his first word problem. So basically, he said, "The only thing I know about Paris is the Eiffel Tower. So we better be able to see it from the hotel." So when I was looking for hotels, I chose this one because I was looking for an apart hotel. I wanted to experience that both as a travel agent and because there are four of us, and it is nicer to have sort of a little bit of separations and privacy. And a kitchen, which we had with an apart. So an apart hotel is a hotel. You could think of it kind of like a Residence Inn by Marriott, where you generally have some sort of suite, could be a studio, could be one or two bedrooms, and then you have some sort of, we'll say full kitchen. I wouldn't define it as full. We didn't have an oven, but we had a microwave, we had a stovetop, we had a refrigerator, mm-hmm. and a sink, and then and a dishwasher even, and then we had a kitchen table. So, and then like a little living area and then a bed, and we could see the Eiffel Tower from the window.
So that's cool. So is this like a moderate or deluxe price range, or?
It would be in the moderate, actually. It's a 3-star hotel, but of course, if you are knowledgeable about stars, that's not review wise. That's,
like
rating wise. Yeah. So what it just means amenities. So we didn't have a gym. We didn't have a spa. We didn't, you know, there's certain things. So 3-star doesn't mean it's a hole. It just means that it doesn't have like a certain
more
level
bare bones.
Of amenities.
Yeah.
They did serve a breakfast every morning. It was quite expensive. It was €12 per person. We had a kitchen. We never really partook of that. And I felt like there were people there who were a little bit more long-term as well. There are just some people we saw there that seemed to be
living
there. Yeah. And I don't know if it was like super long term or just for a month or so, mm-hmm. but you know, definitely living there. Yeah.
Awesome.
So extended stay kind of, you know, while we look for a real place to live.
Yeah. So did your daughter get her cheese?
She got some. Yeah. Not as much. You know, it's funny. You always set out on these trips and you're like, we're going to have cheese every day. And we didn't.
I think on our first day we had a walking tour of really just sort of a general introduction to Paris. And one of the places we stopped was a cheese shop, and it was a cheese shop like you're not really going to find here in the States. It was impressive. There were hundreds of different types of cheeses, and the smells were everywhere. And we got to sample quite a few, and that was really nice. But that was really the only time on the trip we kind of looked at cheeses in that.
And it was nice because our guide was able to tell us why French cheese is so much, quote, better. Than American cheese. I say, quote, it is better in my opinion, but we'll leave that to the individual.
Did you think it was?
Absolutely. Because, well, it's not pasteurized. So right. I think there's a lot to be said for how you prepare food.
Lindsay, did you say you tried to bring some home one time or something? Who said that?
That was not. I heartbreakingly know that you cannot bring cheese into this country.
Okay. Well, it seemed like somebody wanted to do that.
For the record, we've done it before.
Maybe it was you.
Well, if gotta call them just stomach.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on, you can't bring cheese in if it's packaged a certain way.
Right. Some, yeah. So when we were in Amsterdam, we bought a Gouda that was packaged for travel and we were allowed to bring it and it was outstanding.
Yeah.
I'm always looking for edible souvenirs because honestly, that's the best way for me to revisit my trip and it doesn't take up space in my house. So
I love that too. But then there's that sadness when you get to the end of it.
Yeah. And then you start pricing tickets again.
And then you go, I knew that was soap. Yeah. Like, oh, I'm out of soap. I got to go back. Yeah. So what about the cooking class? That looked really cool.
Yeah. And actually I was really surprised. So of course, because this is my job, I do a lot of things because my clients want to do them. Mm-hmm. And so I booked a lot of things that I knew the kids would like, but that also that my clients have requested. And I really wanted to try it. And especially when you're traveling with children, things like a cooking class in France, it's like, okay, can I bring my kids? Yeah. Is it going to be okay? And if they say I can bring my kids, is it really kid friendly?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I have to tell you, I was like super skeptical. They said, yes, kids are welcome. And so we signed up for it and I put it in front of my kids. There were several cooking classes that we can offer, as an agency, through our sources, and there's lots of them out there. And there's one just on making macaroons, and there's one on working with chocolate, which I really thought my daughter was going to vote for because she's actually done a science project on chocolate and working with chocolate. She learned some lessons the hard way about working with chocolate. So the first thing she did was try to melt chocolate in water. I was like, oh, that didn't go so well, did it? So there was chocolate, and then there was also like one that was just a main course. The one that they chose as I put them in front of them was one that was a 3-course meal. And I was really surprised that both my kids, I wasn't surprised when Chris said, that's what I want to do, but my kids were right, yeah.
Immediately. There's a, yeah, we want to
yeah,
do that.
Yeah, that's the one we want to do. And it was actually the billing of these is you learn to cook in a chef's home. And so I also expect to serve a staged experience where we walk into an apartment mm-hmm. and I'm doing that in quotation marks in France. And it's clearly an apartment that nobody lives in. And, but they do these. No, I feel this guy probably lives there. Yeah. Yeah. Fred totally lives there. And he calls it the Fred and breakfast. And I'm betting he contracts out. And there was a little bit of it that was sort of commercial, but it was clearly home for him as well.
And we were the second class of the day because there was a class before us and they had actually gone down to the market to get ingredients. And he didn't actually know what he was going to prepare for our class. He basically went down to the market and said, oh, this looks good. We can do something with this. And he brought it all back. And I think he brought, beets and chicken and prosciutto.
And he knew he was going to have kids in the class. So he was like, I definitely shopped knowing that there were going to be kids. Yeah. And so I didn't make it too,
passion
weird.
Fruit.
Yeah.
It was really
passion
good.
Fruit, yeah. Great.
Yeah. The whole thing was.
It was fantastic. It was fantastic. And I have to say, Lindsay, and I know you've taken some classes before, they actually gave my kids a knife. He actually worked with my children and taught them knife skills, which I totally did not expect at
all.
Yeah.
That's incredible. And that's a great memory for them too. And especially with them being at the age where they're kind of learning those life skills they're going to take on. Did any of your kids express interest when you got home of cooking?
Yeah.
Now or
yeah.
More?
Yeah, they've both actually taken the knife into their hands since they got home.
Uh-oh.
As I say that out loud, it sounds really bad.
Yeah, really.
But normally when we cook together, the kids do the things like, throwing away items and pulling together ingredients. And they'll do things that don't – they basically will do anything that doesn't involve the knife. And both of them now have –
a little more comfortable.
Tried. Yeah. I will say my son is still not as comfortable as my daughter is. But of course, my daughter also plays roller derby and is kind of fearless. So she's like, cut my finger off, whatever.
Yeah. Just wipe that out.
I got 9 more. Let's go.
But the cooking class was really extraordinary. And I really felt like, there was one other person in it with us. And again, we're off season. I think they could have taken 2 more. I think the max is like 7 or 8. Yeah. There was one other guy there and he was there for his son's wedding. Just a, single guy. And, it was a very easygoing, very easy environment. And he had enough food there for us. So even we all cut up the onion, but he didn't use all the onion because he had enough onions for all of us to try and cut it up. But then he only used the amount he needed to for the recipe. Yeah.
That's cool.
It was so good. It really was.
That's awesome.
Highly recommend. And yeah, so we can book any of those cooking classes for you. This one was in the morning. And again, it was three courses. We had what was the first course?
It was, wasn't that like the beaten goat cheese?
A salad. So good.
It was amazing.
You can't see, but Chris is rolling his eyes back in his head.
He's having a moment. And then the main meal was like a chicken.
It was the chicken prosciutto wraps. With the cheese in it and the carrots.
Yes, those were really good. And then there was a
passion fruit souffle.
Yeah.
It was outstanding.
Yeah, actually, it was really good. That was the bomb.
So I like that.
Did you ever get those recipes, by the way?
No.
You know.
Yeah. I know his email. I can get it.
Make it happen.
Get your agent on that.
You gonna make it for me?
you take your part. We'll figure out the rest.
So I like that you guys got oriented in Paris and then did something with a local guide. You know, yes. and
that helped a lot.
Yeah, I think that's cool because it gets you really. I think that's one of the best things about going someplace is when you can actually do something with the locals and kind of learn a little bit more.
And this is where one thing leads to another, because one of the first things I did was book a private walking tour, and that was in the afternoon of our arrival. So we took a little nap. The kids were not happy that it was as little as it was. I think they would have liked to have slept for longer. And we pushed them out of bed, and we did a walking tour with a local guide who took us, basically we could customize. And so I sent her a note that said, I really like beer. My son is really a history fanatic and is really into the history of the American and the French revolutions and how they tie together. And then basically she looked at our neighborhood and she said, you know, yes, we can take you around your neighborhood. Which when she got there, she's like, there's not much here. Here's a restaurant. Here's a restaurant. Just a few things. Like, this is where you should get some. Yeah. And then we went on to a couple other places. But she also pointed out that, like, she took us to Notre Dame, and we did Notre Dame. So we did a touristy thing with her. And then she also took us through the neighborhoods there and was like, here's this ice cream that is known on this island in Paris, and you can get it elsewhere, but it's made right here. And she took us to the place where they make the ice cream, which was closed, but then we got to try it somewhere else. So we got to sort of get these ideas. She was the one who also took us to the cheese shop, and she said, okay, here's why French cheese is special, here are some things about it. And then she purchased for us like a little sampler of this sharper cheese that she knew the kids would like, that we could sort of munch on as we were walking. So she really took our interest to heart and talked about, you know, the city as it was.
Then she pretty much gave us a tour of Notre Dame. I mean,
oh yeah, we went in. And
she took us in and told us all a bunch of things about it, just like you get me in a tour guide for that.
Yeah,
yeah.
And did you go up on the?
We didn't go up. We could have, but we opted not to. And again, it was off season, so it was really easy to get in and get around. And my kids have actually never been into a church like that. They didn't know anything about it.
Completely,
so it was very very overwhelming to them. So the whole idea of the stained glass and everything, there was like a lot to explain to them. So we took it in pieces and then, you know, and went from there. So then doing the cooking class right after, he was like, well, here's what's in the neighborhood. So that he like referenced us to this chocolate shop, which I gave Sandy a little sample of the chocolate. It's very good. From Alain Ducasse, which is right, it was about a mile away from his apartment.
Yeah, it's about
yeah, right. And so we walked down there and he's like, they do bean to bar. Like, you need to go down there. So that's where we decided to buy our French chocolate. And no regrets there. And then he also lived right around the corner from that famous cemetery where Jim Morrison is buried. And a lot of Oscar Wilde. And unfortunately, we went to Chopin's grave and we went to Jim Morrison's grave, and the kids were like, this is really boring.
Yeah, give them like another 6 or 7 years and they'll be like, why didn't
I went to Jim Morrison's grave? Yeah.
It's very pretty too. And again, it's one of those things where those type of cemeteries, maybe New Orleans, but you don't really see those type of cemeteries in the States.
I remember going to one in Pittsburgh one time that had...
See, you did not just do that. Who was buried in the one in Pittsburgh?
Well, it was cool. I mean, it was actually kind of sad, but they had... I remember there was like this one family and they had... like six.
Are you asking her further
little
questions?
Headstones that have...
Yes, because I want to know how Pittsburgh could possibly compare to Jim Morrison.
Because these were really old headstones, and this one family had a baby die like every year. It was really sad.
Well,
but they were like from the 1800s.
And Charleston and Savannah have a lot of graveyards like that too. But New Orleans is the one place where I've really felt like that same kind of... like, that cemetery. This is an artist's cemetery.
Okay, so I will go, and then I'll come back and tell you.
Edith Piaf is buried there. Yeah, you do that. Yeah. And I will definitely, if we get to go back without children, I will definitely, which I think we have on our upcoming podcast about getaways without guilt. If we can go again, I would definitely spend a lot more time in that.
So did you guys do the catacombs? Because I was really kind of pushing you to
never
do
had
that.
Time to do
now,
it.
Well, we got to go back.
Schedule, yeah.
Let's go. Let's go back. All right. So moving on. Because you guys did, I wrote like kind of a list of things I wanted to ask you about, but then I forgot that you did Versailles.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that is one that I would love to see. So how was that?
As Marcus said, it was the King's Palace, yo.
It was really interesting and it was enormous.
Yeah.
And I imagine in the spring it'd be really impressive with all the flowers out. Obviously, we went late fall. So, the gardens were very dead, but still immense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a really huge area. And the palace itself, I didn't really have it in my mind the size, the scale of it. It's huge.
Listeners at home, that's my dog. You hear growling in the
background.
He's
dreaming.
No idea what she's talking about. But, I will say that was my big disappointment about Versailles. Being off season, it was dead. Dead as in, like, the gardens were dead. It was also dead as far as there were only several hundred people there instead of several thousand people there. So winning.
Yeah.
But, and the grounds are still, even without the blooms, the grounds are still really
so
impressive.
Yeah.
So I've heard that you get to go into like the bedrooms and you get to see. Mm-hmm. So is it true that people used to have to watch them to make sure they like consummated their marriage and that had baby, like when they had the babies and stuff?
Well, I think the most interesting story there is that the king's official bedroom.
Right.
And it's almost like our guide described it as like a punch clock. He would go to bed, quote unquote, in that room as sort of like end of his working day as the king. That's not actually where he slept. But he would officially go to bed in there, and then there was like a not secret passage, but a very, cleverly concealed door that lead to his actual chambers, his apartment. But that was like the king's bedroom, so the court would actually watch him go to bed. It's like, all right.
Oh, God.
Show's over for today.
Isn't it? Yeah.
But he would also have to go there in the morning, and it's like, all right, we're clocking in. I'm the king now. And,
that is so funny that people complain now about the press.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's like literally he would come out, lay down in bed, and then go,
time to wake up.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, we saw several bedrooms and some of the apartments in the famous Hall of Mirrors where the Treaty of Versailles was signed, which is, honestly, you see the pictures of it and then you walk through it. It's so like so many things. It's very impressive in the pictures. It is equally but different impressive in person. It's like you stand it and you're like, this is what I've seen in the pictures. And at the same time, it's like, wow, I can really like. I get this whole perspective on how big this is and the mirrors reflect the windows that look out into the gardens and just sort of, you get to really see how cleverly designed it is.
And the guide was saying that there's interesting about the story there is that was the first time where you actually had Florida, ceiling windows.
Mirrors. Yeah.
So people had small mirrors, they see part of themselves. This is the first time people walk through and it's like, hey, I can see my whole body. That was a relatively new thing. That's why they're so impressed. Like, I can see all the way down. So
it's so French.
Look at me.
C'est moi.
No, but it's beautiful. It was really, really cool.
So how far out of the city is that?
About 45 minutes.
Okay.
Really, I was under some impression that it was way far out, but it really, I think it's like 3 hours by carriage is what they said. So
yeah, we had
a bus.
Carriage?
Well, because that's how the king would go to and from Paris. But
no, Sandy, that is not an option.
No. Honestly, it would not be fun. No, we were on a nice motor coach.
We were on
a nice motor coach with iPads at hand and a Wi-Fi and So, the tour we took, the one that I booked was, multilingual. So there was a Japanese group on, and I think there were some Spanish speakers.
Yes, there were.
And they give you the little headsets.
The boxes,
we didn't have to change the languages.
The guides split up by language. So we were in the English group and we could all have the little whisper boxes so we could hear the guide.
And I cannot say enough about the whisper boxes. I think we talked about them on the river cruise, episode and just being able, and the kids really enjoyed them as well, just to be able to have that voice right in your ear. And especially when it's cold like that. I mean, it seems like I go to Europe off season a lot, which incidentally I will do all the time now because it's so nice. it's rainy and cold, but it's, there's no people. So, I get to see things and we'll talk hopefully about the Louvre and Eiffel Tower after that. Cause we did some really touristy things and had a really great experience, but having that Whisper Vox is so nice because you can sort of wander away. You can take things at your own pace and you still hear the commentary in your ear. Yeah. So even if you can't get into that, cause I'm also one of those people that I'm too polite and I let people get in front of me this always happens. Chris will be like 18 people ahead of me. And he'll look back. He's like, "What? Why are you way back there?" I'm like, "Because these people wanted to go," and I'm just like, "Okay." So, but I can.
Still guys, you're so soft spoken too. If you're not like the first two people right next to them, then forget it. You can't hear anything. It's like a bad game of telephone.
Exactly. And then I'm the person who would be like right up in the tour guide's face, which I'm sure doesn't make them feel good. You know, I'm like, "What are you saying? What are you saying?" You know, I'm like 2 inches from them. Yeah. So, so it's really nice. It's really nice to be able to do that. And yeah.
Now, when you went to the Louvre, did the kids do a separate tour?
No, we did a tour together, and we missed a lot of the Louvre, but this is our first trip, and the kids, like, my daughter is 12. She's like, "I don't want to go to some stupid museum."
Although that ended up being her favorite part of the trip.
She loves art. She loves all that stuff, and I was like, "You're really going to love this. This is stupid." So, again, I have a lot of patience for this because I was this kid. So, but what we did was we booked a kid-friendly tour. And the way it was billed, and again, I booked this because I wanted to see how kid-friendly it was. She was fantastic.
Yeah.
She's really... Chris and I didn't even need to be there. Like, she spoke to the kids the whole time. She looked at us every now and then, but she was there to talk to the kids.
And did other parents just leave their kids and go?
No. We were the only ones there because we went in November. This is not a private tour.
That's a new tour opportunity, Sandy, if you want to get on.
No, this is not a private tour, but we were the only family because it was November.
Yeah.
And it was great because she does all the storytelling, all those things that companies like Adventures by Disney are so good at. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, they made sure that they tell stories. They gave them basically this activity/coloring book, which actually Marcus played with for days after the tour. And basically she said, "We're going to see these." It was four highlights, right?
She said five. She said, "We're going to see like these three main ones and I'll pick another one or two as we
as a surprise." Yeah. And so then she told us what, as we got to those, she told us what they were. And of course we saw the Venus de Milo. We saw the Mona Lisa. We saw Liberty Leading the People, I think is the other one.
Yeah, we saw the Winged Victory.
Yeah, the Winged Victory. So, and then the moat, from which was actually something I had not yet seen because last time I went,
the original castle they excavated the moat was pretty cool.
So you actually can stand in the moat, like where the mud would have been, and the original walls are there. It's underneath the palace. So it was, and the kids were completely engaged. Marcus is sort of a nerd about stuff like that, so he loves guided tours, and he just soaks that up. Athena is a little bit harder to convince. It was interesting though, because Athena is Athena. So one of the first things we saw was the goddess Athena, a statue.
Yeah, the Greek antiquities.
And that pulled her right.
Yeah. Immediately.
So,
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So how was Disneyland?
It was great.
We got to talk about Disneyland.
It was great. Yeah.
Yeah. It was good. It's the Disneyland, Hotel?
Yeah.
Which is right on the park.
Yeah. They have like five.
Literally on the park.
No, there's a lot of hotels. And honestly, I was a little disappointed to stay at the Disneyland Hotel because it is the Grand Floridian. It's but it is literally over the entrance to the park. And the first time I went to Euro Disney, that was my thing, was I wanted to stay there because that's the only hotel where you literally can stay at the Disney park. Right. It's so close. And I'm glad we did it. At first I had some misgivings because I wanted to see some of the things. There's a New York hotel. There's sort of Davy Crockett kind of hotel. Yeah. They all looked really interesting and they were less expensive. So part of me really wanted to stay there and experience the busing, but it was so cold when we were there that it was really nice to be right at the parks.
It was about 10 degrees colder outside of the city than it was in Paris itself.
Oh,
it was really cold.
It was about an hour and a half to get there from our hotel, which to be fair was all the way on the other side of Paris. So I told you we were sort of in the southwest quadrant. And
Disneyland is 45 minutes east of Paris.
Yeah, it's east. I would say like central east, pretty much.
So did you take a bus or
no, train? Direct train there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just had to make two changes in the metro and then straight over.
So, you know, they do a race in Disneyland and Paris.
He said direct train. I want to make sure you understand. It's not nonstop. It's not like Hong Kong where it's a Mickey Mouse train that takes you right out there. It's, Yeah.
But it was a train that stops there.
Mm-hmm. And it's comfortable.
At the end of the line.
Were there other places to stay for runners, like, nearby that weren't...
No, but they were less expensive. Well, maybe. I honestly didn't. We were only there one night. Mm-hmm. And so we got there about midday. We checked in. Mm-hmm. We went to the parks for a meal at Walt's restaurant, which when they said it, we thought they were saying Waltz like the dance. It's Waltz like Walt Disney. And it was extraordinary. It was almost like a Victorian Albert's kind of meal where they had, and this is very common in France. You will have a fixed price menu. Mm-hmm. First of all, waiters don't get tipped. They're paid like a living wage in France. So you have a lot of fixed price menus where you can order a la carte, and that's a la carte is French. prefix is also right. French. That's why. So there were about three fixed price menus to choose from. Right. One was Walt's menu, which I'm gonna get shot for this, but was kind of lame looking. And then there was like a premium and a
I don't remember the
extra or whatever. One had steak and lobster on it, and one was like pork and, mm-hmm. you know, like a step down from that. Walt's menu was kind of the things you'd expect Walt Disney to eat. So not necessarily super fancy, but nothing I needed.
Did he have chili?
There was chili on the burger. Yeah, actually.
Every time I go to California Adventure, I have to get the chili cheese con queso. And I imagine that I'm Walt.
Yes. Marcus ordered that burger. He did not want the chili, but we made him put it on the side.
He ordered Walt's burger and he had the chili on the side. So Walt sort of maybe rolled a little bit in his grave. But
that's so funny. I didn't know he was all about chili.
Yeah, he really liked chili.
Let me put my little geek glasses on.
There's some things that to note. And honestly, I didn't expect to stay at Disneyland. My original intent was to just go to the parks for the day. But the way the schedule worked out, I sort of left our Sunday open because Marcus was so angry about London. I sort of left it open so that we could take the train out to London. But it sort of became clear on the trip that the kids were a little bit more interested in sleep than a day trip. So instead of going on Sunday, we let them sleep in on Sunday. I never really told them that London was an option because we probably will go to London next year as part of the Ireland Outlander trip. So I didn't never really mention that as a possibility. I told Chris about it, but it wasn't like a done deal. So we basically decided we were going to sleep in that day and head over to Disneyland in the afternoon and then go to the park. We decided to go to the park that evening. Did we ride anything? We rode a couple
of things. Yeah, we rode a couple things. Yeah, I don't even remember. We tried to ride the Phantom Manor.
Yeah, and it broke down. My first time ever getting evacuated on a ride, and it was the Phantom Manor, but we weren't even on the ride yet. We had gotten into the Doom Buggy, and then we hadn't even moved.
We didn't leave.
They did turn all the lights on, so there, the scene right there as you board the Doom Buggies for the Phantom Manor is the coffin scene, you know, with the... And so, yeah, that the lights came up and we had to exit. Mm-hmm.
And then did you get to ride it the next day?
Yeah. Yeah, we did. I made a point of it.
Is it similar to the Haunted Mansion, though? Or?
It is very similar to Haunted Mansion. It has the paintings that change from the, you know, it has...
It's got like an Old West part of it, too, which is totally different.
Yeah, it has a stretching room at the beginning, but it's different portraits.
But they have a whole section that looks like it's like an Old West ghost town sort of area, which is
I told Athena, you know, each Haunted Mansion has a different story, slightly different story, but they all revolve around a bride. And I asked her if she could pick up the story because she's usually better at that stuff. She didn't really come up with a storyline, but we only read it once, to be fair. There is definitely a bride, you know, some sort of murderous bride, but I couldn't really. And we did the stretching room twice because the first time we did the stretching room and then were evacuated after. Mm-hmm. And then the second time we did it in road and I couldn't see, you know, when they do the flash and you see under behind the scrim, I have no idea what I was looking at. Do you know what you were looking at up there?
No.
Usually you can definitely see a hanging body or something. I couldn't tell what I was looking at. Hmm. I haven't looked it up since then. So there's probably people listening going, you stupid idiot.
It was totally
whatever. But I don't spoil stuff that way for myself. So I like to experience it For real.
Well, same, and now you missed out.
No, I don't watch movie trailers. You can hit or noise the crap out of him because I don't.
See,
I
turn to the back of a book and read the end.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I know. We talked about that.
That's just weird.
I have to tell you, it triggers every single.
So weird.
So I'm not sure that I know the true Phantom Manor story at Paris, but the ride was somewhere in between the length of the Disney World ride and the length of the Disneyland ride. Mm-hmm. We didn't get to ride the one at Hong Kong that wasn't built yet. So those are the only two that I've experienced besides that.
I thought the best ride there though was the Ratatouille one.
Oh yeah, you told me about that one.
That was amazing.
Yeah. The technology is really, it's very Spider-Man like. You know, I've said before, Universal really hit the nail on the head with Spider-Man. And of course, Harry Potter, all that built on that technology. Mm-hmm. I think Ratatouille is the closest that Disney has come to that technology.
Because all you're like in a little rat car.
Yeah. But there's a mouse.
Isn't it all about rats? Isn't nice. That the point?
They're so cute. They can't be rats. It's probably a rat.
But each little car is independent. So they, mm-hmm. they all move independently and interweave with each other. So there's no track. I'm guessing it's some sort of magnetic thing underneath it. But it's really cool because you like scurry through the ride because your little rat is scurrying from place to place. It's a really neat effect. They did a really good job with it. It's very cool.
Yeah.
And you move through these scenes. Like sometimes you're in a room with like four other rats. And so it's sort of Soarin' like where you have the full screen and the movie effect. Yeah. And then sometimes they turn you into a room completely by yourself where you have three walls around you and you can't see any other rats. So yeah, super cool.
Oh, that's amazing.
And they have a mix of practical effects and then the 3D effects, which are really high def. I mean, it's really cool.
And of course the smells.
Yeah.
Now, is this one of their newest rides?
I would think so. Yeah. Yeah. See, it's one of their top billing rides. It's on all of their promo material and all of that. And Lindsay, I have a park map for you. I gave one to Sandy. I got several. Oh, so yay. If you want it, I'll send it to you when I finally send you this bottle openers. And then, the other ride so they have a Toy Story Land and it has similar rides to the Toy Story Land in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
So it has a RC racer thing that goes like, it's like a carnival ride where it goes, it's the car that's
a U-shape.
She's making a U-shape.
They have the parachute drop.
The parachute drop, which is really tame. Mm-hmm. It looks kind of scary until you get on it. You're like, oh, this is sort of lame. And then the Slinky Dog ride that goes around and around.
See, this makes me excited for Toy Story.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I know we're going to see some of the same things. And then the other one is Crush's Roller Coaster, which if I had to put money down, I'd say is the same track as, what is it called? The Mouse Coaster. Not Pterodactyl Spin. It's
Astro Orbiter?
No, it's in Dino Land.
Oh, shoot.
It's Primeval World.
I'm pretty sure it's the same track, but it's inside and it's dark and you're in Crush's shell and you're faced like two by two, like in Toy Story where you're back to back. So there's four of you in one turtle shell and it's a roller coaster and then it starts spinning once you do the back and forth thing. So you're riding the EAC. Mm-hmm. So cool.
Oh, neat.
So cool.
There's one in Kennywood that I think is on the same kind of track in Pittsburgh.
I can't wait to ride the one. It just went in Paris.
Yeah.
Well, you might get to Kennywood before you get to Paris, just saying.
Well, and the world is actually
We did have to wait in line for that, and it has a queue with, you know, that like that's similar to the Living Seas queue where you sort of move underwater in the queue. Oh, yeah. You know, that Pixar, mm-hmm. you're at the beach. Honestly, the theming was fantastic, even though it was freaking cold as heck. Yeah. And that's the other thing we bought. Athena was really excited because they had these like scarves that were like these face scarves, like ski masks that would be like Beast's face on the scarf, and then you'd get a matching hat. So you had the ears.
Yeah.
So she got a Shere Khan one, and we paid a lot of money for that bad boy. And we get home, and she's like, "Well, I'm not going to wear it unless I go to Disney World because you can't wear silly stuff like that unless you're at Disney World."
I know exactly how she feels.
Disney is in Florida. We're not going to be in like 10 degree weather again at Disney World. You need to wear it somewhere else. Marcus is like, "I'll wear it."
I'm gonna wear it on Halloween. Sometimes it's cold enough on Halloween.
But it's super cute. But she's like, "That's just for Disney. You can't look silly like that."
That's so funny. Well, you know, when I'm at Disney, I find myself thinking that certain items of clothing are perfectly acceptable and reasonable that to spend like $50 on.
Oh, I bought this
that great, I would never wear again once I get
I bought this here. Great hat that's supposedly Minnie Mouse, but in France they do a lot of things with these little pom-poms. So the ears are these little pom-poms. So I asked Athena, I was like, do I look like Minnie Mouse when I put it on? It's got this beautiful, like, warm scarf around your neck, and then your face is showing, and then the hat is all attached. She's like, no, you look like a really fabulous bear. I was like, I'll take it. Fabulous bear. I'll take it.
So, just tell me to put it on when you guys are going to Walmart.
I will wear that Minnie Mouse thing out, but it's just got a little red sparkly bow on it, and then fabulous pom-poms. So.
And this is how I know your daughter's in junior roller derby. Yeah. Because if she graduates to regular roller derby, she will no longer care.
No, she'll be taking all my fabulous bears. So.
Pretty sure my neighbors thought that I was a streetwalker. So, 3 nights a week.
So one of the things is the packages at Disneyland Paris do include breakfast. So that's unusual. You get that meal included, and you also get fast passes. One fast pass per person per day of your stay. Mm-hmm. So we were there for one night, so we got one for the day we arrived and the next day. And it could be used at any park, at any fast pass ride, but there were only like 8 fast pass rides. It wasn't a ton. Yeah.
And it's because of the weather, the cold and the weather, there are a lot of rides that were down for various points during the time we were there. Yeah.
And we walked on to most everything. I think we ended up not using. And somebody gave us, we had that magical moment that we missed at Walt Disney World where we were checking in and somebody else was checking out. They're like, we're not going to use our fast passes. Yeah, and they handed us our fast passes.
That happened to Owen and Ellie when we were at Animal Kingdom. Mm-hmm. Somebody had fast passes, paper ones. I guess a ride broke down while they were waiting or something. And they gave them like 6 fast passes use anywhere. They could use them on anything.
I miss that.
So yeah. I miss that so much.
It just happened.
Do that all the time.
Yeah.
We would just hand them to people and their faces would light up, or people would hand them to us, and that's such a great.
Do you remember whenever you didn't have to go back during the window? You could go back.
Those are the days.
Yeah.
So it snowed the morning. So we went that night. It snowed that morning. We were eating breakfast. I looked out the window. I was like, is that snow? Like 3 people had to reassure me that it was actually snow, big fat flakes. But unfortunately, by the time we finished our breakfast and got outside, it turned to rain. It was that miserable, cold rain. But rainy day at Disney is better than a sunny day at home.
Really?
So.
Yeah.
It was nice. And it did keep the crowds down. And I think we got a lot in. We were cold. We had to buy socks for Athena because she'd only brought those like footy socks.
Yeah.
And she's like, I can't feel my ankles. So we learned a few lessons. And that was the other thing. We went into the World of Disney there, and she's like, everything is themed for America. What's up with that? I was like, well, Disney's kind of an American thing. So people like that.
I thought that the last highlight that's worth mentioning for Disneyland is the fireworks show. Outstanding.
Really good. Yeah.
Like
outstanding.
Very similar to the Disneyland shows that blew our minds. Yeah, with the castle projections.
Oh, right.
And it focused on the French characters. So Be Our Guest and Beating the Beast and Hunchback and Cinderella.
And they had lots of Peter Pan because I guess they love Peter Pan.
They love Peter Pan. So a lot of things were themed to Peter Pan. And I made the kids ride It's a Small World because it's different in every part.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's good in Disneyland.
It was okay in Paris. I don't think the kids actually loved me for that one, but I'm glad we did it. So
awesome. All right, guys. Well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com and click on podcast and find the episode you want to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast or search for Fly Away. And please be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. On behalf of Elizabeth, Lindsay, Chris, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.